Hey there, budgeteers. Are you ready to unlock the power of each payday and take control of your finances like a boss? Introducing the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits. This isn't your average budgeting tool. Oh no. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll harness the unique rhythm of your paychecks to supercharge your financial game. Say goodbye to the confusion of monthly budgets and hello to the clarity of every payday. You'll know exactly when money is coming in and when it's going out, giving you the edge you need to stay on top of your finances. But that's not all. With the Payday Power Planner, you'll easily spot whether you're rocking a surplus or facing a deficit. Armed with this knowledge, you'll make informed decisions that set you up for financial success. It's time to transform your relationship with money and create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. Get your hands on the Payday Power Planner from New Money Habits today and start making every dollar count. Don't let financial stress hold you back. Create a better plan for your money and seize the power of your pay period and thrive with the Payday Power Planner. Visit newmoneyhabits.com now to grab your free copy and unleash your financial potential. Should I go on a trip or invest? Do I need a credit score? What's the Bible have to say about stress and anxiety? The answers to those questions and more on this episode of the New Money Habits Podcast. What's up, budgeteers, and welcome to the New Money Habits Podcast. I'm your host and one of the co-founders of New Money Habits, Coach Nino Villa. And today on the New Money Habits Podcast, we're going to answer whether you should use your tax refund to take a trip or invest in the market, discuss the need for a credit score or not, and explore God's promise of peace. If you have any questions, be sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. If you want to help out the show, consider leaving a 5-star rating and review. We cannot thank you enough for leaving those 5-star ratings and reviews. They truly help us spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money. Now let's get into today's episode. It's early in the year, which means it's tax refund time. And this time of year, we get a lot of questions about what should I do with my tax refund? Should I do this or should I do that? So I imagine this question hits close to home. What are you doing with your tax refund? And are you going to use it to take a trip or to invest? Well, let's start by exploring your situation. The question of whether or not I should go on a trip or invest money into the S&P 500 really boils down to personal financial situation and priorities. For instance, given the time of year, there are plenty of people who are still kind of cleaning up the mess that they've made from Christmas. Perhaps you had to turn to credit cards at Christmas to buy gifts, to travel, or whatever the case may be. And so here you are, you're looking at possibly a tax refund, and you're thinking, ooh, I could either use this to go on a trip or maybe to invest. And I would say to a client who is dealing with credit card debt from the holidays, that it actually might be wise to prioritize paying off debt and putting a hold on taking a trip or investing at this time. But then there's other clients that I have that they have been planning and prioritizing throughout the year. They were able to get through the holiday season and Christmas travel and purchasing of gifts all as part of their plan, and they didn't turn to credit cards. And so for them, the conversation looks a lot differently. Actually, I have a number of clients who are all planning to travel right now. And as they are getting tax refunds, we're using some of the money to help them to travel. But because most of my clients also have travel funds, that frees their tax refund up to be invested. So when you're planning and prioritizing all of your expenses, including travel and investing, when you get a tax refund, really you can just do more of the things that you're already planning. And so, again, a number of my clients right now have travel funds. Not each one of them is fully funded. They've done some traveling. that travel fund has taken a little bit of a hit. So this is a perfect opportunity to replenish the travel fund, whether they're going on a trip right away or not. For others, their travel fund is fully funded. They're taking care of all their other expenses. And so this is an opportunity for them to take their tax refund and invest it into their Roth IRA or make additional contributions to a brokerage account. And so, again, it's about sitting down with each one of these clients and mapping out all of their income, including tax refunds, bonuses, that sort of thing. And so the other answer could be do both. As I just illustrated a moment ago, a couple of my clients, that's exactly what they're doing. They are taking some of the funds to replenish their travel fund to get it back to fully funded, the amount that they want it to be sitting at. And then they're taking the balance and investing it into a Roth IRA. And so the idea of it's early in the year, I'm getting a tax refund, and you know, should I take a trip or should I invest, really boils down to it depends. It depends on your entire financial situation. It depends on how much that refund is. If it's a sizable refund, $4,000 or $5,000, there's probably an opportunity to do both. You can plan to travel for $1,200 and then use the balance to invest. But as I said as well, if you're carrying debt, especially if you're carrying debt because of Christmas and the holiday season just a few months ago, I would say, well, I wouldn't do either. And I would look at cleaning up the expenses that you've already incurred that you didn't have the cash on hand to take care of. And then once you've cleaned up the credit card debt, I'd say sit down with a financial coach and get on a better plan for your money. A large tax refund also is an indication that you are paying more in income taxes throughout the year out of each one of your paychecks than you need to. And so there's an opportunity that you could be bringing this money home, managing it well so that you don't have to turn to credit cards when it comes to the holidays. And you could be saving for travel and investing on your own this extra money that you're getting back at tax time. And so the real answer is it depends. Do I need a credit score? Well, I got to start off by saying our society has become kind of lazy and dependent. And what I mean by that is your credit scores are now used for more than just determining your credit worthiness. I mean, landlords have become lazy and they use it to determine whether or not to rent. Employers have become lazy and they use credit scores to determine whether or not to hire. Insurance companies use credit scores to help calculate premiums. And so there are a number of different things that our society is doing now that almost makes credit scores become a necessary evil. But we're not going to demonize a credit score here at New Money Habits. When you're managing your credit wisely, a credit score and maintaining a credit score is no big deal. But I do want you to understand that you need to know the rules to play the credit game. Credit is calculated in such an odd way, and things happen in a way that you wouldn't necessarily expect them to happen when it comes to your credit score. I'll give you a couple of examples, a couple of client stories. So one, we have this credit score hack that we use with young adults. Just recently, within the last 6 to 8 months, I'm working with a young lady. She's 24 at the time. She's now 25. And we strategically asked her parents to add her as a authorized user on one of their credit cards. On their credit card with the longest history, the biggest available balance, and with the least amount charged to it so that the utilization rate was really small. Well, after adding her as an authorized user and not even having to give her the credit card, just having her name and social security number associated with that account, that particular young lady went from having absolutely no credit score, no credit history, nothing to review when you pulled her name and social, to having over 700 credit score instantaneously. I don't remember if it was 710 or 720, but just north of 700 immediately, because she inherited the payment history, the length of how long that account had been open. She had inherited the credit line and the low utilization rate. And so all of these factors played very well for her. And so we were able to take that 710, 720 credit score, go and apply for her own credit card, in which she got an instant approval with a $3,000 line to begin with. And so that's, I shared that story as an example of credit is weird. How many 24-year-olds do you know that have an over 700 credit score? Perhaps maybe if they got some line of credit when they were 18, but they had to work for it. If they got a credit card at 18 and maybe an auto loan when they were 19 and they've been making payments on those things, maybe they've worked themselves into a 700 credit score over the course of 5 or 6 years. But this hack allowed somebody to inherit a 700 credit score instantaneously. And so credit's weird. Another story to illustrate just how credit scores are kind of weird, and they do things that you wouldn't necessarily anticipate, is I've seen this happen a number of times. I experienced it myself, and then I experienced it with clients as they did the same thing. But watch your credit score after you pay off a large loan, especially something like an auto loan. So you do the right thing, you pay off that auto loan, you rid yourself of the payments, you're no longer paying interest, good on you for eliminating your debt. Your credit score, however, and the credit bureaus, they're not as happy for you or about the situation as you should be for yourself. And so your credit score actually goes down. Your credit score goes down when you pay off debt. That is an odd behavior for a credit score. Now, it will rebound in the next couple of months. It will not only go back up, but probably be higher than it was. But the month that it's reported that you no longer have an auto loan, this actually negatively affects your credit score. So something that positively affects your debt situation negatively affects your credit score. Very, very strange. So if you're not already familiar, there are five factors that are calculated into your credit score, and they're weighted a little bit differently. So the first factor is your payment history. So payment history is not only the first factor, it is the most significant factor. 35% of your credit score is based off of the payment history. And so if you have a stellar payment history, then this is going to affect your credit score positively. And again, it's weighted the most. The next highest weighted factor is the amount you owe. So 30% of your credit score is based off of how much you owe. So if you have a $3,000 credit card and you owe $2,500 on it, that amount that you owe and the percentage of how much you're utilizing the credit you have is a huge factor in your credit score. And so I go back to my example just a moment ago, though. So I have an auto loan and I pay it off, which means I go from owing $15,000 and it dwindles. I finally pay it off. I owe zero. And because the amount owed went down, so did my credit score. So that leads me to believe that the inverse would be true, that the more I owe, the higher my credit score. And that is, again, odd to me. Now, I understand that utilization rate on like a credit card or a home equity line of credit, something that's a revolving credit line, is also a part of the amount owed. It's strange. I mean, can we agree that it's strange? It's strange, isn't it? All right. The third factor in your credit score at 15% is the length of the history. So think about this. Every time you open up a new account, you actually cut your average length of history down. I'll give you an example. Keep it super simple. Let's say you have one credit card. It's been open for the last 2 years. And now you apply for a second. So now you have a second credit card. You have two credit cards. One is brand new and the other one you've had for 2 years. Well, your average length of history is 1 year because you just cut it. You have two cards with a total of 2 years. So you take the 2 years, divide by two cards, and now your average length of history is 1 year. So it's a little bit more significant when you have a long-standing history. Let's say you have a credit card for 10 years and all of a sudden you establish a new line of credit and now you take the two lines of credit, take 10, divide by the two, and now you have an average history of 5 years. And so, again, very strange to me why the length of history wouldn't just be tied to each individual account and the fact that, like, if you have an account that's been open for 10 years, that your length of history would just be 10 years. But 15% of your credit score is based off the length, the average length of history. The fourth factor of your credit score is going to be the credit mix. And this makes up 10% of your score. So if all you have is a credit card, you have no credit mix. You have to have a revolving line of credit, like a credit card. You have to have an installment line of credit, like an auto loan. The credit bureaus look at real estate as a different line of credit. So even though it's an installment loan, it is real estate. And so real estate, auto, student loans, personal loan, unsecured, secured, revolving, installment, all of these things are a credit mix. And the more you have of them, the better your score is going to be. So the credit score becomes we reward you for having more and more debt. And so you just got to manage that wisely, play the credit game, but you have to know the credit rules to play the credit game. And so that's why I'm going over these five factors with you. The fifth and final factor that goes into calculating your credit score is new credit. So 10% of your score is made up of new line of credit. When you establish a new line of credit, it demonstrates credit worthiness, right? Another bank, another lender is willing to take a risk on you. You don't want to open too many new accounts too quickly because that can have an adverse reaction on your credit score. But when you're establishing a new line of credit, you might see a dip in your score, but eventually within a month or two or three, it's going to rebound and typically even be higher because now, you know, you've increased your credit mix and you've increased your new credit and you've increased your amount available and hopefully reduced the amount owed and all of these factors that go into your credit score. So do you need a credit score? Need is a very strong word. I would say, no, you don't need a credit score. However, in our society, more and more entities are turning to credit scores. And so when you don't have one, it complicates things. It doesn't make it impossible. And actually, the old adage that it's better to have bad credit than no credit, once upon a time, that might have been true. But now that landlords are using it to determine whether or not to rent and employers are using it to determine whether or not to hire, I think having no credit score would be better than having a bad credit score, because a bad credit score means that you are bad credit risk. And that is a red flag for employers and landlords. Hey there, budgeteers. Are you tired of feeling like your finances are running the show? Well, it's time to flip the script and take charge of your money with New Money Habits Financial Coaching. This isn't your typical financial advice. New Money Habits is about empowering you with the knowledge and tools you need to make savvy money moves and build a solid financial foundation. Here's the deal. We're offering a free discovery session to kickstart your journey to financial freedom. Yep, you heard me right. Free. In this session, one of our experienced coaches will help you to pinpoint your financial goals and create a better plan for your money. We're talking about mastering your money mindset, picking up practical money management skills, and having someone to hold you accountable along the way. So, if you're ready to kiss financial stress goodbye and say hello to a brighter financial future, then schedule your free session today to create the new money habits you need to achieve financial freedom. Well, now that I got everybody worried about their credit scores, hopefully I can share something with you that will bring you peace. So, in the book of Philippians, which is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, the sixth and seventh verse, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And so, this is one of my favorite Bible verses. It's something that I share with or remind my wife and children of very often. And I want to break it down for you. I think we live in a society in which the enemy is trying to constantly steal our peace, constantly wants us to live in a perpetual state of fear and anxiety and stress, and we don't have to play the game. And so let me break this down into a couple of different parts. So as I said, you'll find this in the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, and it's two verses. It's verses 6 and 7. So let's take a look at verse 6 a little bit more closely and break it down. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." So right there, the moment you feel stress, anxiety, worry, fear, pause. Remember, don't worry about anything. Anything. Don't worry about being laid off. I experienced that in 2016, and this was of great comfort to me. Don't worry about that medical diagnosis. And I know that is really, really hard to do. But don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying, instead, that's the very next word, pray about everything. So the moment you feel that fear, that anxiety, that stress, pause and pray. Pray what, Nino? Well, verse 6 goes on, the second half of verse 6 goes on and tells us exactly what to pray. Tell God what you need. What do you need? Do you need comfort? Do you need reassurance? Do you need peace? Do you need joy? What do you need? Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. So in 2016, when I was laid off, instead of worrying, I started praying and I said, "God, I thank you for everything you've done. You've provided for me and my family. Every time we needed something, it was there. It was provided for us." And so while I don't know when and I don't know how, I know that you will continue to provide. And so thank you for always providing. I know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I trust that you're going to provide again. And so instead of worrying about being laid off, I started praying, telling God what I needed. I needed His provision. I needed His comfort His calm, like just knowing His peace. Right? So then verse 7 says, what will happen when you do this? It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And listeners, I want to encourage you so much, really lean into this. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. When this world wants to tell you that you should be freaking out, God's peace will tell you you're good to go. And then you'll start to share that peace with others, and people will say, how can you possibly be so calm in a time like this? You were just laid off. Well, because I have God's peace, and it exceeds anything I can understand. I get it. I know I should be freaked out because the world tells me I should be freaked out, but I'm not. But I'm not. And the second part of verse 7 says, His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I only really started to appreciate this part of the verse more recently. As I said, this is something that gave me great comfort in 2016 when I was laid off. But only in maybe the last year or two have I truly understand and appreciated His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Wow. So I get His peace that surpasses all understanding, and then that same peace will guard me. It will guard my heart and my mind. And so what does it mean to guard my mind? I can at times literally feel myself about to want to have an anxiety attack about something or just get in my head about something. And it's almost as if I can feel the Holy Spirit come grab that thought and say, nope, we are not going to give that thought any attention because I'm not supposed to worry about anything. Instead, I'm supposed to pray about everything, tell God what I need, thank Him for what He has already done for me, and then I will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that I can understand. His peace will guard my heart and my mind as I live in Christ Jesus. And I want you to see what I just did there with that scripture. The scripture is written in the second person. You, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. But I turned it into first person. I won't worry about anything. Instead, I'll pray about everything. I'll tell God what I need, and I'll thank Him for all that He has done for me. And so it becomes a prayer of intimate relationship with my Lord and my Savior. I also wanted to just share real quickly John 14:27. So in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, the 27th verse, this is Jesus speaking, and He says, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So when our financial situation seems a mess or overwhelming or stressful, when life throws us this curveball and that, and when the world will tell you, you should be worried, how are you going to get through the day? Remember that it's Jesus who promises a gift that the world cannot give. And that gift is peace of mind and of heart. And so we are not to be troubled or afraid. Be blessed, budgeteers. That does it for this episode of the New Money Habits Podcast. Remember, if you have any questions, make sure to hit us up on social at New Money Habits and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Please consider leaving a 5-star rating and review to help us spread this message of hope to people looking for a better plan for their money.